Welcome back to Download Here at 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's been a busy couple days for the mayor of Chicago when it comes to the arts. Just last week, the mayor announced the city's first ever public art plan, which laid out a strategy and some goals for the city to become a leader in displaying and developing public works of art. And then this week, he dubbed 2018 the Year of Creative Youth. He's investing big money into more artistic opportunity for Chicago's youth, culminating in a new fall festival at Millennium Park. And you add to the fact that the new budget proposal includes a plan to lower taxes for small to mid-sized entertainment venues, and the mayor is making a strong move to make Chicago known as the arts and culture city. In studio tonight, the commissioner of the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, Mark Kelly. Mr. Kelly, good to see you.
Pleasure to be
always,
here,
Justin. Always good to have you here. This is something we've talked about on the show a couple times, about the public art plan and the year of public art, which was 2017. Talk about this plan. What does it do? What does it mean to have strategies and goals on paper?
Well, it's actually just bringing to life what's already taken place in the city. So we have unleashed some major forces in the city with the Year of Public Art. Everywhere you look, every neighborhood of the city, we have installations, sculptures, murals taking place. You know, we had Anish Kapoor back for his first selfie in front of the Bean, and Kerry James Marshall,
yeah,
and the
list
just goes
on.
I just went to a mural dedication in Lakeview this morning, and there's another one tomorrow. So public art has always been part of the history of the city. We have one of the greatest public art collections in the world. On the Year of Public Art, we've stretched that idea, the boundaries of what that means. And then the public art plan is this call to action to this entire city, that this city define itself with its public art, that every the streetscapes, the airports, the walls, the fences, the performances fill our squares, our halls, and it's all free, and it's all to bring delight to the city.
And how does that go about? Because these are suggestions and recommendations, and essentially it's the Department of Cultural Affairs and the mayor's office saying, yes, we are committed to this. But what has to happen when you talk about the city thinking about public art and streetscapes and fences and all the things that you just mentioned?
Well, first of all, it's the city itself and what we're going to do. So working with the park district and with aviation and with the library system and with CDOT and CTA, all these agencies, we're forming an interagency group all committed to public art. And then you start to see already examples like the new 95th L Station by Theaster Gates. You see the public art showing up in more and more spaces within our park system. I have a commitment from our Commissioner of Aviation that our airports, which have public art in them, but do you think of them as spaces of public art? But why shouldn't you walk in the first connection to the city and you're inspired by the sense of a creative city, and it just is there for you and it calls to you. So the city, we need to do more. We're going to do more. But then it's the city, as in all the citizens, all of our culture organizations, all of our SSAs, the local taxing bodies for business districts, the donors who donate to something that maybe in the past was going to be in an interior space and there would be a cost factor. Hey, come on, donate to the next Picasso, the next Bean, the next series of performances. It's also stretching our boundaries of what we mean by performance.
I was going to ask about that. I saw that in the public art plan, the idea of changing the definition of public art.
Maybe it should be public arts, because it's all forms of arts in the public realm. So summer dance is one of the greatest public art institutions we have, but we don't think of it as public art, but it is. And so let's circle around that. In fact, you should know we're going to be pushing summer dance. I want this to be this. It's the largest dance event of its type in the country, and we need to celebrate it more and push it out into every neighborhood. We dance. We come together. How do we come together? How do we build diversity? Well, we dance together. So it's night out in the parks.
Put that on the sign across the Skyway Bridge instead of the city of Chicago. We say, we dance.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm helping out here. I'm trying to help.
I like that. Yeah, we have to do something more with that Skyway Bridge now that you mention it.
Well, yeah, you hang murals on the side of that. But I'm interested because this isn't to belittle or to think down on a plan like this, because it's amazing and I support it wholeheartedly, 100%. But as a city continues to look for places for revenue, where we see more and more difficulty with our pension obligations and taxpayers are getting taxed more for property taxes, how do you envision the city moving forward to pay for this kind of stuff when you're asking private donations and organizations and other places to do it themselves? Isn't there a point where you almost have to just by faith hope that they do it?
Well, we inspire them, we push them, we cajole them, we show them the power of it, and we get people excited. And in fact, it's always been in our history. So it was the Art Institute through the Ferguson Fund who was the first institution, the Laredo Taft Fountain of Time in the Midway.
Yeah.
That was the Art Institute. So many of the great historic sculptures in the city came from them. And so I want them to go back at it.
Yeah, so
double down on what they've already done. The MCA, I think art has been redefined that artists want to be in the public realm. They don't want to be just in a frame. They don't want to just be on a stage. They want Kerry James Marshall, he jumped at that opportunity for that wall because he saw it as that challenge. Yeah. He saw it as sort of closing the circle. But Kerry James has that, you know, there's a deep democratic impulse in his work. And so you don't want to just be in a museum. You don't want to be just in a collector's wall. So we need to... At the heart of this is big ideas. So I hope people, when this plan is an intellectual treatise, first of all. It's not just a to-do list, because to-do lists sort of, your imagination isn't untethered by what it means. It's just sort of straightforward
check
language.
Check it off.
But
right.
we have the history of public art, because we have to understand what we've already done, what we've accomplished. And then Thomas Dijah, his essay, it's killer. It, like, wow, this is the spirit of Chicago at its best. We're also a meat and potatoes town, a town afraid of its own shadow. We have a deep conservative impulse, and we also have this enthralling wanting to sort of push beyond the boundaries and this great creative spirit. And I want to call on that second part of the city. And we have a mayor who's totally committed to this. We engaged the aldermen of Chicago in public artwork. And, you know, some people said to me as we were going to go forward with our neighborhood arts project, like, are you crazy? And they're not even going to be interested. And literally, almost everyone signed on. They've engaged in it. They've engaged their community in it. They've engaged their youth. You know, we had to have rules of road so that it was qualified artists and such. But great cities are filled with great art. Yeah. It's that simple. And we are a great city, and we need more of that great art, and it needs to be in the public realm.
Commissioner Mark Kelly of the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events in studio with me. Let's do this. We'll take a break, come back, and let's talk about the Year of Creative Youth 2018. Really, that plus the amusement tax lowering, the lowering of amusement tax for mid-sized, small entertainment venues kind of go hand in hand. But we'll talk about that. Commissioner Kelly in studio tonight. Stay with us. Welcome back to Download Here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio with me, the Commissioner of DCAES, Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, Mark Kelly. We're talking about the Year of Public Art, the Public Art Plan, which just came out. The mayor announced it last Friday. And also this week, the mayor dubbed 2018 the Year of Creative Youth. What does that mean?
Well, one of the greatest parts of Chicago is the myriad organizations that work with our youth and inspire them to take creative paths. It's not necessarily helping them become artists. That's an individual decision. But whether it's Sky Art or whether it's Marwin, After School Matters, U-Media, the list goes on and on. There's scores and scores of organizations, and they've never been celebrated. So the first part of the Year of Creative Youth is celebrate all the great work that's already going on. And then you see the fruit of that work, because around the country, there's sort of an understanding, wow, things are hot in Chicago. There is just a lot of talent coming out of Chicago. And you look at the biography of all these individuals, and they're coming out of After School Matters and U-Media and such.
It's amazing.
This is a fertile ground for them. And then we want to elevate all of this work. We want to encourage, inspire more youth to take the creative path. Our youth do not want to be edified. They don't want to be lectured to. They just want to make, create, design. They want to be on a stage. They want to compete. And we should encourage them. That is part of the public art, if you
will.
Well,
it's interesting, too, because in reading the press release, you know, it talks about the mayor's initiatives for a summer jobs program this summer. It talks about this initiative to be the Year of Creative Youth 2018. Is the Year of Creative Youth, is it effectively an anti-violence program?
Maybe that is an outcome, but that's not the intent. And our youth do not want to be joining anti-violence programs. They may be concerned like anyone about violence, but they want each of them wants a path forward for her himself, and we have to offer that. But of course, when you engage people in creative work, they learn discipline. They learn how to work as a team. They become inspired.
Self-worth, confidence,
The development, whatever path they might take, is incredible. I don't know of a better way in our culture to develop our young people. They love the creative world. They want to be part of it. Let's offer it to them. We're not trying to put stars in their eyes. Actually, we're going to make them work their butts off, because that's what creative work is about, is working hard. So they're working on the murals, they're working on the fashion, they're working on their beats. And then we're going to have a giant creative youth festival in Millennium Park. If we value our creative youth, then we have to put them in our living room.
You know, any listener to this program knows how much I harp on every time we have a different artist in studio talking about young kid from Chicago talking about their work. Ultimately, they bring up that they met and collaborated with other artists at Harold Washington Library, or maybe After School Matters downtown, or some city program. So it's, and I've always said this in the show, that, you know, I wish the city would recognize that, and to see that this is happening and there is a recognition of it, it elicits a little civic pride.
We're going to be offering grants to cultural organizations. They're going to go harder and deeper working with creative youth. We just announced the first six. We'll be offering some additional mini grants. Again, I'm going to be encouraging all of our foundations to get into this and help support all of these creative groups, help support us in this work. And just like public art, I hope this, it's not just to be a year of creative youth and oh, we're done with that, but it sort of sets a new bar, a new expectation, and the intersection of public art and creative youth is obvious.
Because I think about, you know, also with the amusement tax, about taking or lowering the tax on mid to small size entertainment venues, places, music venues like Metro or Empty Bottle in Chicago, or small theaters. It does make me think, because the national storylines and narratives of Chicago have turned negative in the last year. Political has a lot to do with that, just about the way the president speaks of town, and obviously violence. Is this idea to push back, to change a national narrative about Chicago, to say that this is an arts and culture town? You should know of all the great people that come out of here. You should know about all the great things. Hey, we're a creative town.
The intent is not to create a different narrative, but surely that narrative unfolds from this work. So the impulse on public art was sort of flows out of our history and what we've done, and the same with creative youth. But it does tell a richer, more complex narrative. You know, there is a lot of violence in the city. We are a segregated city, but we're a lot more than just that. And actually, the places where we most come together is in culture and the arts. So, you know, Millennium Park is a great public art park, and it's the most democratic space in the city. Some feared, oh, this is going to be this elite space for the, you know, the fancy people.
For tourists
and
who come downtown,
Wow, you know, we go to Millennium Park on a Saturday, and it's just this wild scene, and the brides from every culture in the world. And
let me ask you,
there's
this,
a good story.
We only have a minute left here. How are you paying for this? How are we getting a tax cut at this point for mid to small sized entertainment venues? How are we funding into a year of creative youth? Where's the money coming from?
Well, so DCase, my budget is the same budget as last year, but that's a good thing in a city with a pretty tight budget. But we're rallying support. Actually, we have additional support for the year of creative youth from the changes in the tax structure. So the big boys, Wrigley Field and United Center, are going to be paying more. They're going to be paying at 9% like their sporting events. But then the local, the smaller theaters, there'll be no tax. And I want to emphasize that, no tax for nonprofits.
Oh, really?
And for theaters below 1,500, encouraging the local scene. We become a better incubator. It sort of flows again right to the year of creative youth, that our youth will have stages available to them that otherwise would be hard to get to, because it's the economics are now more in their favor.
Exciting. Commissioner of the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events, Mark Kelly, in studio talking about the public art plan, the year of creative youth 2018, and of course, no tax for not-for-profits that are small to mid-sized entertainment venues. Commissioner Kelly, thanks for coming in, explaining some of this stuff to us, and good luck.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.